Welcome to Rambam on the Line. We're up to Perek Chi, the ninth chapter of Hilchos Nezirus, Aleph. Amavishmash Yaakov men kabanas nezirim. If someone sets aside money from which to bring the sacrifices of the Nazir, v'hikiv behem, and he did indeed bring the sacrifices of this money, v'siru, and then there was left over. Yaviyu b'masar and kabanas nezir mecherim. So with the leftover money, he should bring other sacrifices of the Nazir. Shemot Nazirim l'Nazirim, because what is left over from the sacrifice of a Nazir goes for Nazirim. Hivishmas Tumul l'Nazirasao v'hosiru. If he set aside money without saying anything, but he intended to use it for the Nazirus, in that case, and there's extra money, Yiful Mosros l'Nadavah. So the extra money should go to the fund in the temple that goes for the donated sacrifices, since he didn't specify that this money is for Nazirus. If a person sets aside specific money for the specific sacrifices of his Nazirus, and there's left over, what's left over of the money for the burnt offering should be brought as a burnt offering. What was set aside for the sin offering should be thrown into the Dead Sea, because the sin offering cannot be substituted for anyone else. And the rest of the money that was set aside for the shlamim, yavo shlamim, they should be brought as a shlamim. They do not have to. You don't have to bring the bread of the nazir with it. And they can be eaten on one. And they should be eaten within one day, as is the law of the shlamim of a nazir. Gemo hamafish matzam zirusiv yemei. If someone set aside money for his nazirus and he died, if the money was unspecified, the money should go for a donation sacrifice. If it was specified, then the law is like previously mentioned, the money of the Ola goes for a burnt offering, the money of the sin offering is thrown into the sea, the money of the Shlamim is brought for a Shlamim, which have to be eaten in one day, but do not require the bread of the Nazir. How do we define the unspecified money? He set aside money to bring his sacrifices without saying anything. He said, these are for my obligation. Then it's considered explicit. It goes without saying, he said, this is for my sin offering, my burnt offering, and my peace offering. That's considered explicit. Hey, hamavish behem abalas mum. If one sets aside an animal that is blemished, harei kamar stumim, then it's considered like unspecified money. Okay, hamavish noshes v'kesev v'shazav or keli. If he sets aside not money but a piece of silver or gold or a vessel, apisham zelachatasi lolasi l'shlama. Even though he said this is for my sin offering and my burnt offering and my peace offering, harei kamar stumim, it's considered like unspecified money. Since in the case of money, you could take some of the money and buy one thing, some buy another, some buy another, whereas this is all one object, so it's considered unspecified. If someone said, this is for my sin offering, the rest is from the Nazirus, and then he dies. Or if it was a woman and her husband annulled the vow of Nazirus. The money of the sin offering goes to the seeds, destroyed. The rest of the money, half of it goes for an ola, and half of it goes for the shlamim. Zayin amar lo losi v'shalim zirusi. He said, this is for my burnt offering, and the rest is for my nazirus. To be ola yivo ola, the money of the ola should go for the burnt offering. V'shar yipla lo nadava, and the rest goes for a nadava. Since the money of the chatas is mixed in with it, we consider it as a stuma, as unspecified, and we bring it as an adava. In the previous case, the money of the chatas is separate, and therefore the rest of it goes for an ola and a shlamim. If a person thought that he was liable to be a nazir and he set aside his sacrifices, then he asked the sage, and the sage taught him that the vow is not valid, he's not obligated to be a nazir. What should he do with the sacrifices that he set aside? Yesu v'yiru v'eder, should go out and pasture together with the flock. She's a hegdish tos, because this is a hegdish that was made by mistake. She's a hegdish that's not hegdish altogether. She's barbim komo, as will be explained in its place. In other words, it has the status of chulin, of non-sacred things. Tesu isha shenoda benazim v'pishuk v'nasava kachefu l'abayla. If a woman vowed to be a nazir, set aside sacrifices, then her husband annulled the vow. Im shlo haisa behema, if the animal was his, taste of the syrup eder, so then the animal goes out and it's not holy. Shinoda makish dava shena shalom, a person cannot sanctify something that isn't his. Mayu akabanas mishalom, vela bala ben klum, if the sacrifices belong to her, and her husband had no right in them, to go shenitala b'matana manashlo yila bala ben mishuz, for example, it was given to her as a gift, on condition that the husband should have no rights over them, and amashitu at the tatsman, that she could do whatever she wants to with them, achatas tamus. In that case, the chatos must die, can't be brought as any kind of sacrifice. The ola is brought as an ola, the shlamim is brought as a shlamim, but it's eaten only one day like a nazir's shlamim, however it does not require bread. The bread of the nazir, since it's not actually being brought as a nazir, it's a nazir-like shlamim. She set aside unspecified monies for her sacrifice. Then it should go to a donation. If it was specific, the value of the chatas goes to the Dead Sea, it's destroyed. And the money of the burnt offering is used for a burnt offering, the money of the peace offering is used for a shlamim offering that is eaten one day like a nazir sacrifice, but that does not require bread. So if a woman vowed to be a nazir, then became tummy in the days of her nazirus, then her husband heard and nullified the vow. She must still bring the sacrifice of tumah. When a husband nullifies a vow, he doesn't uproot it from the first place. The vow was a vow. From now on, it's not valid. So therefore, she does have to bring those sacrifices. If a man vowed that his son should become a nazir, as explained previously in chapter 2 how that works, and then he set aside sacrifices. Then the son refused to accept this nazirus, which he has a right to refuse, and either he or his relatives protested against this, or he shaved his hair to show that he doesn't accept the nazirus, or his relatives had his hair cut. So again, the chatas, you can't do anything with it, you have to let it die. The ola is brought as an ola, v'shlamim yikuv v'shlamim racholam liyom echad v'edim to l'lochem. The shlamim is brought as a shlamim, but it's eaten only for one day, as would be the case of a sacrifice of a nazir, and it does not require the bread of the nazir. If v'shlamim stumim, if he set aside for his son unspecified monies, harei elo yipu l'nadava, then you give it as a donation. V'yimasu for Russian, if the money was specified, v'yachadis yech v'yom ha-melech, the money of the chadis has to be thrown into the sea and destroyed. The money of the ola has to be brought for a burnt offering. The money of the shlamim should be brought for a shlamim that is eaten for one day and that does not require any bread. Because of the ola. If a man said, I'm a nazir, when I have a son, he set aside a sacrifice, his wife miscarried, and then afterwards had another child, these sacrifices are doubtful, whether it goes after the first when there was a miscarriage or after the second, and therefore you're not allowed to shear them or work with them because perhaps they are holy. If two nazir became tame, and we don't know which one, how do they go about bringing their sacrifices? The tame nazir has to bring a sacrifice too, but he can't bring a chatas, which is part of the sacrifice of tahara. If he's tar, he can't bring an asham, which is part of the sacrifice of the tumah. So that's the dilemma. V'vien korban tumah v'korban tahara. They bring one set of sacrifices of tumah and of tahara. V'mlasimei nazirusam, when the days of the nazirus is over. V'amechad mehem, one of them says, "Im ani o atameh, if I am the one who is tameh, korban tumah shali v'korban tahara shalach, the korban of tumah is mine, and the korban of tahara of purity is yours. V'ani o atar, if I am the one who is tar, carbon tar shall leave, the carbon tumor shall lock. Then the carbon of tar is mine, and the tumor is yours. The self remain is zero tacheres gemura, meacher kabana selo. Then they count the complete days of the zeros after the sacrifices. Then they bring one
set of sacrifices for Tahara. The Amrachim Mehem, one of them says, Yemeni Hoshi Yisi Tamei, if I was Tamei, Karban Tumah Sheli V'Karban Tahara Shelcha V'Zeh Karban Taharasi. Then the previous Karban Tumah was mine, the Karban Tahara was yours, now this is my Karban Tahara. Yemeni Ho Atar, if I was Tahara before, then Karban Tahara Sheli V'Karban Tumah Shelcha, then the previous sacrifice of Tahara was mine, and I fulfilled my obligation, the one of Tumah was yours, V'Zeh Karban Taharasach, and this is the Karban of your Tahara. So it comes out, if they follow the system, that neither one loses anything in his sacrifice. If one of them dies, then he must bring a sin offering that is a bird, and a bird offering that is a behemoth, an animal. Now we said before that a person in doubt cannot bring a chatas, but he can bring a chatas of a bird. And since he might be tar, he has to bring a chatas of a bird. He brings the ola of the ola, which you know can be brought in any case. And if he is tahar, he can cut his hair over it. And he has to cut his hair. And another tahar cannot cut his hair until the blood is sprinkled of one of the sacrifices. So this ola for sure is going to be one of the sacrifices. The Omer, this is what he says: In tamei yisi hachatas havasi v'lo nadava. If I was tamei. So the chatas is my obligation, and the ola is voluntary, because Nozir Tomei doesn't have to bring an ola. Tara Yisi, if I was Tara, ola mechavasi, the ola counts as my obligatory sacrifice. He can't bring a shlomim, because the shlomim requires the bread and the zeroa, and you can't bring that voluntarily. The chatas of safek, and the chatas of is brought because of the doubt. The sofer may nazirus acheres, so then he has to count afterwards another time of nazirus. Maybe carbon tahara. Then he brings the sacrifice of purity. The Omer, and he says, "In tamei yisi ola rishon nedava v'zuchava. If I was tamei, as mentioned before, the previous ola didn't count; it was just a voluntary ola, and this ola is the obligatory one. From tar yisi, if I was tar then, and the ola counts already." Then Ola Rishona Chava, the first Ola is the obligatory one, Mizunadava, and the second Ola is a voluntary one, Mizeshar Kabani, and this is the rest of my sacrifice. In other words, the rest of the sacrifices for Tara he's bringing them. And in this case, neither of them cuts his hair because of Tuma. Elam Kein Ayuk Tanam Onoshim. Unless there were children or women. Why can't they cut their hair? Shenele makifim patroshim misafik. Because a man cannot cut off his hair, which would include cutting off the payas, which is allowed in the case of the nazir, but they can't do it in the case of doubt. Because the cutting of the hair of tuma has to be before the sacrifices. The cutting of the hair of tahara has to be after the sacrifices. Hair may be tamei, so he would, in theory, have to cut his hair before the sacrifices, but he can't do that, because that would be a violation. If, in fact, he was Tahar, he'd be cutting off his payas illegally. He can't do that. Zion, the case that you followed himself with the Tumah, what is the circumstance under which this question of Tumah arises? If the two Nazirim were standing in the private domain, that if there's a doubt of Tumah in a private domain, then it's considered Tumah. The Omar, there's a person outside who saw them, and he said, I saw that one of you became Tamei. But I don't know which one. If the witness was with them in the courtyard, then in that case, they're both Tahar. Why? Since they now are three, that constitutes a many. And many, even in a private domain, their doubt is Tahar. Just like the doubt of Tumah in a public domain, which is Tahar, which is Barbam Kamas, will be explained in its place. When does this apply? If the Nazirim, when this man told them about this, were quiet, or they were in doubt. If one of them said, I know, I didn't become Tamei. Even if two witnesses testify that he did in fact become Tamei, and he may be carbon opium. He does not bring a sacrifice by their word. Shizesh Amalonet Mesi, because by saying I didn't become Tomei, comrades, it's a tantamount to saying Eini Mevi Betuma Shekvar Nishalti Al Nezirusei. I'm not going to bring it in Tuma because I've nullified my vow of Nezirus already. And therefore he is not actually contradicting the witnesses. But a Nevanadi Atzmo, and a person is believed in something that he has a right over himself. And why would he want to stop himself from being atoned? Presumably he wouldn't want to do that, therefore we believe him. Avalim Shasak on a Stapaklo, if he was quiet or he was in doubt, then he brings a sacrifice, a filo piedach, and even through the testimony of one witness. Kemoshe Be'arno, as we've explained. Similarly, if a witness says to one person, Father Nadat ibn Naziris, in my presence you vow to be a Nazir. If he denies the witness, then Achayv Klum is not liable to anything, because we assume that he nullified it, as stated previously. If he did not deny him, knowing his Zerus Apiv, then he has to be a Nazir by his word. Even if he said to two people, I saw that one of you was a Nazir, I don't know which one. So if they do not deny him, they must be Nazir by his word. If he was a Nazir by the word of one witness, he drank wine or he made himself tame, and he was warned by two people not to, he gets flogged, even though the Naziris itself was instituted by the one witness. Since he acted as a Nazir, he is affirming that he is a Nazir. And it's considered like tantamount to him accepting upon himself the Nazirus. Itches meis shahaya mushkav l'ochav aderech. If there was a dead body across the width of the road, even though there's no way to pass without walking over it, on a gebetzido, or by touching on the side, even though it's a known tumma, Vavisham Nazir, another passes there. Raise a tar, he's still tar. Hova Savik Vishal Sarabim tar. Because a question or a doubt in the public domain is tar. So, even though if you walk on the road, there's no doubt, you're definitely tar. But there's still a doubt. Maybe he didn't walk on the road. Maybe he deviated from the road itself when he passed over that point. Your test the Medvar Memorial Memhalach Baragla. When does this apply if he's going on foot? If he was riding or carrying a burden, then he is tamei. Someone going by foot, it's possible that he doesn't touch or be over, be a tent over. In other words, by putting his hand over, he becomes tamei with tumas ohel. Or shlo yaset, or not move it. If he's carrying a burden or riding, it's impossible for him not to either touch or go over or move. For the dead body is across the width of the road. Someone on carrying a burden surely didn't go off of the path. There's no doubt that he was on the path, and therefore he definitely became Tomei.